to share a little bit of my heart for one of the values that we're doing, which is Jesus-centered. I just want to sum up some of the stuff I've said. So there's a little bit of overlap with things I've said in the morning. But like Zach said, one of the key things about this evening gathering is that we felt it was an obedience to God to do it. It was like create space where there's a little bit more, where there is more space really to encounter him, where we just give a little bit more pausing. So like our communion service that we did last Sunday, no talk, but just space to worship and to spend time with Jesus. And we felt that was a response to something God was saying to us. And so it makes sense for me to talk a little bit about Jesus-centered, which is the value here at the evening gathering, because I see this as being one of the places where we're responsive to God in that and where we're being obedient to God in that. So I just want to sum up a little bit what I've already said in terms of the vision, and then I'm going to spend just a few moments talking about Jesus-centered, and I'll do a little bit of personal testimony from that as well, because it's kind of, as often happens with things that I talk to the church about, it's often stuff that God's really nailing me on that I end up talking to the rest of the church and hope that he's going to speak to you as well. But it's usually stuff that he's kind of challenging me on, and certainly my kind of pursuit of him and my walk with him has been something since taking on senior leadership here, really has been particularly a challenge to me, and God's challenged me about. So I'm just going to share a little bit about that, which is where it's coming from. But before we do that, just a reminder, the vision, Alex Harris, who's the Baptist minister, who he's a regional guy who comes and speaks here. You'll remember him. He came and spoke a couple of times. He's been a really good mentor to myself and Giles as we've talked through some of the things that we want to go after. And he helped me think through vision, values and vehicles. I've always shied away a little bit from kind of talk like this, but he helped me understand it. And so vision is the place that we want to get to. So think about going on a journey. You always set your destination. You need to know where you're going to if you're going to go on a journey. Otherwise, you go around in circles. So that's the vision. And our vision is that we want to get to a place of or increase multiplying healthy disciples and transforming community. And I'm not going to go into all of that, but basically, in 3 or 4 years' time, we want to see more people following Jesus, and we want to see us all being healthier in our following of Jesus and our pursuit of us. That thing in the Bible of being transformed and changed, run the race with perseverance to complete to reach the goal, reach the prize. We're all on that journey, aren't we, as followers of Jesus? And so we want to see more new people starting the race, and we want to see those of us already in the race getting better at it and being transformed by God's Holy Spirit. So that's what multiplying healthy disciples is. And transforming community is the whole thing about people who are following Jesus should transform community, because we carry the Holy Spirit. And wherever Jesus went, things were changed. Not just people, but communities were changed. And so the overflow of a people of a healthy followers of Jesus will be changed lives around us and changed communities around us, not because of anything we do, but because of what God does in and through us. And particularly as a church, the overflow of what he does in us here is through a lot of the things like the food bank and the restore work, and that is changed community, but it's not limited to that, and we'll talk more about things like that. So the key thing to remember about that phrase is that they go together. It's not one or the other. It's not like I like that bit or I like that bit. It's the full gospel is people coming to faith, people becoming healthy disciples, and the community being transformed. And that can be summed up in on earth as in heaven, the Lord's Prayer, that sentence from the Lord's Prayer. Where the people of God are praying, your kingdom come on earth as in heaven, you will see God's plan for the changing of this world, for heaven to come down, for transformed communities. God's plan is that he does it through his church as they learn to follow him and as we are transformed. That's our mission, should you choose to accept it. Values are the way that you behave on the way. So if you're on a journey and you want to make it to the end of the journey, you need to behave in a certain way and you need to act in a certain way. Otherwise, you won't get there because, so just very simple, if you're in a car and you're a family going somewhere, you have to consider each other, don't you? And there's certain ways that you behave that enable you to get there. And our values are go together, which I talked about before, so we're actually going somewhere. We choose to go with people. We don't choose to just ride on a motorbike on our own. We choose to go with people. And we're Jesus-centered, so I'm going to talk about that this evening, so I won't say any more on that at the moment. And we're for the marginalised, and Zach did a great talk this morning expressing our heart as a church for the marginalised. And if you missed that, please do look at that on Spotify or wherever podcasts are available. And the vehicles is, well, you need a vehicle to get to the destination. You've got the people you're going with. You go, your destination, how are you going to get there? And for us, our vehicles are things like communities, and I put temple and table, so that just means gathered, like this, temple, and table, homes, wherever you gather in smaller groups. It's just that the table is an image of people gathered together, hospitality, is there a seat at the table for people who aren't yet included, all that kind of thing. Okay, so that's just a little summary of where we're going, and as we go over this term, we're unpacking that. But I want to just talk a little bit about Jesus-centered. And this value, in terms of that analogy of the car or the vehicle and a group of people trying to get to a destination, seeking to get to that destination of multiplying healthy disciples, transforming community, we, one of our key values, one of the key things that we need to do on the way to be able to get to that journey, to get to that destination, sorry, is to make sure God is with us in the car, using that analogy. If we don't go with him, then we're in trouble. So that's what Jesus-centered means. We cannot get to this place unless he is on the journey with us. I know in one sense this is obvious, and hopefully you're all going, yes, of course, we're a church, we're Christians, we go with God. But it's amazing how quickly you can become dependent on your own gifts or your own skills or your own ways of doing things. And we can actually, without deliberately doing it, push Jesus out the car and say, we know what we're doing now. We start off the journey often very well with him, but then we get rid of him along the way, and that's a danger. I think there's always, and I think that is the recalibration that has been happening in the church, not just our church, but the church in the West. It's like you've become too complicated. You've become too dependent on your own ways of doing things. It's got to be about me. If I'm not the one who is leading you in this, and there's a simplicity about faith, isn't there? There's a simplicity about walking with Jesus and traveling with Jesus. And we often, and when I say we, I'm talking about the church generally, but as included, me included, will often overcomplicate things when he just longs for us to be people who seek him and look to him. And I don't want to push the analogy too far, but just as an example, when we as a family go on holiday, we went to Italy last year, which was a real, real, really lovely thing, and we all went together. It's me and Pip who have the resource, and we're happy about that. And this isn't a complaint just because my daughter is here and I'm saying we had to pay lots of money for you to go. It's not that. But we're the ones who have the resource. If we didn't go, the whole family wouldn't go, we wouldn't get there. We, you know, we booked, we paid for the petrol in the car, we paid for the flights we needed to do. And that was our role within the family in terms of making it possible for us to get to that destination. We had the resource to be able to do that. And I'm very thankful that we did. This is the same with Jesus. He is the one who has the resource to get us to the destination. And if we don't take him with us, then we're dependent on our own resource, which is finite and runs out. He wants to be the one who equips us to get to this place. And so if we're going to get to this place, we have to be on our knees. We have to be seeking him. We have to be a people that are known for, as much as anything else we're known for, that if you go there, you will encounter God. There are people who are passionately pursuing him. And I said this as a recent talk. I've been thinking a lot about if people ask us, what church do you go to? And you say NCS, what do you want them to think? Or St. Thomas Philadelphia, whatever it is you say. What do you want them to think when you say that? What do you want them to go, oh, that church? And then say something about it. And I've thought a lot about that. And one of the things I would love people to say about us is that is a group of people who humbly pursue Jesus. And if you go there, you'll be welcomed to join in with them on that journey. And when you go there, they will have their eyes fixed on him and they'll call you to do the same. Now, obviously, I said this before, no non-Christian or anyone is going to articulate it like I've just done. But something to the effect of, oh, those are people who are about Jesus, pursuing him. And you'll encounter him when you go there. There'll be a sense of the Holy Spirit in his presence. And I think what this is, in sort of personally, I say, in terms of my own journey with God, and I think this is something when I talk to leaders around the city and leaders I get the privilege of spending time with, there's been a real humbling, I think, by God in his church. And some of that's been quite painful. You'll be aware of some of the stuff that's gone on nationally in the church and is still going on and is hard. And it isn't to take away from some of the accountability that needs to happen within the church, but some of the positive effects and fruit of this is that it humbles you. You get on your knees again. Well, you have a choice. You can go somewhere else or you can get on your knees. And I think, for me, one of the hardest times was through lockdown, as it was probably for many of us. You know, lockdown was horrible, and you almost like refrain from talking about it now, don't you? We just want to put that behind us. But in that place where we were all pivoting, and we were all trying to do things differently, and I honestly was like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to lead a church from behind a computer screen. You know, I just don't know how to do this. But in that place where you're kind of at the end of yourself, and maybe you've been in that place where you go, I don't know what to do here. God says, that's okay. Just get on your knees. Just come to me, pursue me. And I'm all for good strategy. I'm all for good thinking and all that kind of thing. But it can never be the expense of being on your knees and pursuing him. And I think that is what God has been doing in his church and is doing in his church. And like I say, when I talk to a lot of leaders, they have similar experiences. It's different things that have brought them up to their knees, but that's the place that they're at. And I think actually, although it's been painful, it's actually a good thing for his church. I think we're recalibrating back to the simplicity of pursuing the first love again and seeking him. Seek first the kingdom of God, where we can be sometimes tempted to believe in our own ability to do stuff. And like I say, I want to emphasize, I'm not at all saying you shouldn't have strategy, you shouldn't at all plan what you're going to do. But he will not share his glory, even if your strategy and plans are really, really good, if you believe in that before him being able to do things, being the one who equips and resources, he won't let it happen. And so I think it's really key that we have that foot on the pedal of Jesus-centered, of pursuing him. And I feel like, you know, talking to, like I said, this group here, many of you come regularly to the evening service and you love the space that we create, and many of you here, in fact, probably all of you here are people who get this, and you pray and you're kind of very important in the church in terms of key people who pray. I'm not saying by any means that there aren't other people elsewhere in the church who do that, but it's why it felt quite important to be able to talk about this here at this point. Because we have to be, what I'm saying is, I know this is already going on. I know there are people who have a real passion for prayer, a real passion for pursuing him. But I also want to just recognize it is so important that we have people who are passionate for prayer. And one of the images for me is of a bonfire, and I'm kind of jumping all over the place, but when you build a bonfire, people will come and want to sit around the bonfire. So let's be people who build the bonfire, and people will want to come. And so there's people already who've got that stirring in their heart for prayer and the presence of Jesus and pressing into him. And it starts with the people who've got that. It starts with the people who have that stirring within their soul. And it's the equivalent for me of building the bonfire. And people will go, I want to be sitting around that bonfire. And it stirs their hearts and stirs their souls. But I think one of the things we as a team want to call the church to is that increased presence of God, increased stepping into him. So that looks like prayer. That looks like us facilitating and equipping regular prayer. It looks like us really going after the prayer room, which we've talked about for a while, but we are doing. And it looks like things like the conference that we're doing on the 8th and 9th. It's deliberate that is deeper waters. And that is a flag in the ground of saying, this is what we are about. We're about friendship with Jesus as much as anything else we do. I haven't said much Bible yet, and a lot of the stuff that is I talk about in this is informed by the Bible. It's not one particular thing, but one verse that I think is, or passage that is really key for me in this is the passage from Exodus 33. Moses, when he's leading the people of God out of Egypt, and we talked about how in the go together. Value how when Moses led the people of God, it would have been a whole range of people, older, younger, the whole range of the people of God, and so they would have had to have moved in a way that enabled the whole people of God to go. So that's really key for us, that we were going, but we make sure we take people with us. And then the other thing was this, if you remember, Moses was able to communicate with God. And there's a lovely bit in the Bible where it says, whenever Moses talked with God, he came down and his face shone. You remember that? Because he'd been in God's presence. And the Lord says, my presence will go with you. This is verse 14, just before this. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And Moses is saying, you've called me to lead these people. How do I do it? My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? That for me sums up what I'm saying. You know, Moses recognized it. We're just a group of people. What's going to make us any different? What's the value added to us? What's going to make us, enable us to be people who change and transform community and multiply healthy disciples? Moses didn't say that, but if he had our vision statement, he'd say that. What's going to do that? Well, the only thing that's going to do that is if God's presence goes with us. We seek his face. And if we turn and humble our face, seek your face and humble ourselves, you will come. It's that, isn't it? And I do think it's always a good thing to do. I do think this is a call on God's church, particularly in the West at the moment, to humble ourselves, to seek his face. Because if we don't, what else will distinguish us from the rest of the world? And it's as we do that that he transforms us into the people that the overflow will be so attractive to people that they'll want to see. And it does worry me personally, you know, how different am I? How different am I? It's not something I can make happen. It has to be him who does that in me. So the things we can do is we can put disciplines and tools in place, you know, reading the Bible, praying, fasting, being in community, Sabbath, rest, make sure we have rest. Those things that we're going to be talking about as a church. Now, how can we help each of us to do these things well, to pursue the face of Jesus, to pursue the face of God? So that's what we can do. We can say, here's some good tools, here's some good ideas, here's some ways we can do it. Shall we choose to do this together so that we are going with God, so that he is the one who's making us different? Moses said, now show me your glory. That would be a great thing that we have. Wouldn't that be great? Every morning we wake up, Lord, just show me your glory. There's a lovely, in morning prayer, Anglican morning prayer, I've got it stuck on in my office. Set our hearts on fire with love for you. At the start of this new day, set our hearts on fire with love for you. I love that as a little prayer. Just, you know, these are the things we'll be talking about and we'll be encouraging the church to do. Just start the day. And please hear me. I'm humbly saying this. Like I say, it's as much about what God is saying to me. You may be already there. You may be every morning doing that, which is great. Encourage me. Challenge me. But this is what we as a team will be as we preach and as we do, as we help want to encourage the church down this path of Jesus-centered. These are the sort of things we'll be saying, and we'll be looking at ways we can encourage. And particularly after Christmas, we're going to be looking at the sermon series, which will be talking about these things and helping us to do that. Jesus was anointed. Zach read this morning the passage from Luke 4, where Jesus stands up in the temple, and the first thing he chooses to do is to say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me too. And then all those things, to set the prisoner free, to release the prisoner, to heal, to bring sight to the blind. And again, I called you Jack this morning as well, I don't know why. Zach unpacked that this morning. Do go and have a look at that. But the key verse there, he has anointed me. Jesus was anointed to do the work that he did. So we need to be anointed to do the work that we're called to do. And we carry on the work of Jesus, don't we? As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And if Jesus was anointed, we too need to be anointed. We're following in the footsteps of Jesus, healthy disciples. So I've already mentioned some of the things that we will be doing, but it'll be particularly in a sermon series after the summer. But I wanted to bring it to you guys because I think one of the key things about this space was that it was to create space for this very thing, to pursue God, to give space, to prioritize his presence. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. And I'm sure you know that the verb there is continuously filled. Pursue and be continuously filled with the Spirit and pursuing him. And you know that we as a church are a church that has had a history of pursuing the things of God by his Holy Spirit. And I just want to really not lose that. I want to really press into that and pray into that and seek God to be someone. We'll seek God so that he is, there's an expectation within the church for him to move in power and to change us and transform us. And again, it comes back to that. What do we want to be known for as a church? I came across this lovely phrase in a book. We become the meeting place where the holy converges with humanity. We become the meeting place where the holy converges with humanity. And that's the incarnation idea, you know, that God chose to come and live amongst us. So the things of heaven came to earth and walked on the physical world. God came and made himself known amongst us in Jesus. But then he chooses to do that now through you and me. The holy converges in you and me by the Holy Spirit within us, which is astounding. We should never get used to that as something that God says he does. But he does. He chooses to fill us with his Spirit, and the holy becomes the meeting. We become the meeting place where the holy converges with humanity. And heaven becomes visible through what God does in us and through us. So that's it. Together we choose to go on this journey. And I would love us to keep pressing in. And like I say, it starts with a few people. I don't think you can go to people. You can't make people do things. You can't make people pray. You can call people to it, and you can call people, and hopefully hearts are stirred. But it starts with us saying, God, would you stir my heart? Would you stir my heart so that I'm pursuing you, I prioritize you. Set my heart on fire with love for you. It's that kind of prayer. And as a team, Sam Parker is helping us lead on this. And she was like, we can't say to the church, do this, unless we're doing this together. We're doing this first as a team. And so starting tomorrow, we're meeting up in the prayer room. And we're at 8:30 for an hour. We're going to pray and we're going to worship through in different things during the week as a team. And it's that, again, it's that image of, let's start with us. Let's just start doing it and see who joins in. And I guess what I'm saying to you is, are you going to join in? Would you join in with us? I'm not necessarily saying come at 8:30 here, but as we seek God, will you come and will you do the same? Will you really, in this season, pursue him, seek him, and see what God does, see what he does. And of course, if you want to join us at 8:30 in the prayer room, you're very welcome. But it's not necessarily about that. It's just, let's be a people who are really prioritizing him in this season and seeking his face. And I've mentioned that image of the bonfire. If you could just pop that one. It's just, images are helpful, aren't they? And I just love this image of community around the bonfire. And that analogies you can take too far, can't you? But the whole thing of different people being responsible for that fire burning, like bringing the wood. You know, we each can bring wood and we can set that fire on, that bonfire burning. It's different to the match or whatever, just one little flame. To build a bonfire, we can do this together. And then as we, as a community, are building this bonfire of pursuit of God, of seeking his face, others, I hope, will come and stand around the bonfire. They'll be attracted to the warmth. They'll be attracted to the light. I love that image of as we seek him, others will come. He'll bring people. And the last thing to do with that image is, I don't know if you ever stood around a bonfire. I'm sure many of you have. But you stink, don't you, afterwards? You have to change your clothes after you've been around a bonfire. And that's not necessarily a good smell. But there's something about the people who've been around the presence of God that when we go, we will carry something of the fragrance of God with us. And I love that image as well. As we seek to build the bonfire, we will, there'll be something on us. I believe that, and it's all God. As we go from that, the fragrance will be God. And that'll be attractive to people. I'm going to finish with a quote from John Wesley, because I'm a good Methodist at heart. I grew up in the Methodist church, and that's, get on fire for God, and men will come and see you burn. Or people will come and see you burn. Let's make it inclusive. People will come and see you burn. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will receive power. So let's just, sorry, that was a little bit rambly, but I wanted it just to be a little bit more sharing my heart really on it. So let's just pause. We're going to worship a little bit in a moment, but it might be just good to be quiet. And can I encourage you to stand if you're able? And if you're willing just to settle within your heart, Lord, set my heart on fire with love for you. Wherever you are, you may feel you're already really passionate for him, but there's always more. He always wants to lead us into more. And if that is something that you want to say yes with us as a team with and help and stand alongside us, if you like, gather around the bonfire with us, then settle that in your heart. Say that to God now. Say that to the Holy Spirit. Lord, Lord, would you hear our hearts now? I'll just be quiet just for us to do that before God, and then I'll say that little prayer that I've been saying about setting our hearts on fire. Thank you, God, for just the privilege that you call us into partnership with you, that there is this opportunity to walk with you, to journey with you. And we just want to say, Lord, as individuals, as a church, please, like Moses said, don't send us anywhere. Don't let us go without going with you. Don't let us go anywhere without your presence, because we, like Moses, recognize that without you, it isn't effective. And we don't want to waste time, Lord. We want to be people who honor you, whose hearts are warmed by you, who are people who walk in close communion with you and know your presence. For our sake, but also for the sake of the world, Lord, and the communities we're in, we know that this is what you've called us to, and so please, would you come by your Spirit? Would you fill us again? Would you equip us? Would you set our hearts on fire with love for you, Lord? Where there may be a bit of a dullness in us, Lord, would you stir our hearts? We know it's not about feelings. We know it's about choice and choosing you, and if the feelings come, that's great. But we, regardless of feelings, Lord, we want to say we choose you. We seek you. Stir our hearts. Help us to pursue you as individuals and as a church. And would you, in your mercy and grace, send your Holy Spirit to fill us and equip us so that we may become all that you've called us to be. Amen.